thank you for your prayers. I continue to improve. I think I've gained my weight back. Louise has taken me off Ensure Plus and a lot of other things, all the good stuff. But thank you so very much for your prayers. Now, as you know, for this month of March, our studies have centered around and focused upon the Bible itself. We have thought about its at least something of its origination, its canonization, its inspiration, its preservation, and we were thinking on Sunday night something of its translation. We thought about three outstanding translations of the Bible, two of which have had a great bearing upon the translation of the Bible into many other languages, including our English translation. And the English translation was one of the three that we thought of on Sunday night. I thought tonight we would digress just a little bit from this background material. The next phase that we will consider, Lord willing, on Sunday night will be something of the circulation of the Bible, and maybe finish up next Wednesday night about the application of the Word. But I thought we would digress just a little tonight and have a challenge from an Old Testament portion. It is that chapter in the Old Testament that deals with the Word of God. We read some verses from it on Sunday night. Let's turn to it once again, and it's Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I remember, according to my notes, it was 15 years ago that I preached a message on Psalm 119, the great Word of God. I want to touch upon some of these truths tonight, but I want to get into this challenge concerning our attitude toward the Bible, the Word of God. Psalm 119, as we stated, this chapter in the Old Testament deals with the Bible, the Word of God. The entire chapter does. As to who wrote it, we really don't know, possibly David, but it is the longest of the Psalms and said to be the most perfect. And maybe you have wondered, I realize that some of you are familiar with this Psalm and familiar with what I am saying, but maybe some of you have wondered, in looking at Psalm 119, what are these words that I'm seeing after every eight verses? I'm seeing a word there in a different language. What is that? Well, in Psalm 119, we have the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And what you're looking at when you look at Psalm 119, for example, above verse 1, you see that Hebrew letter, and then you see Aleph. Aleph. That is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Just as we would say A is the first letter of the English alphabet, Aleph is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet. We have 26 letters in the English alphabet, but in Hebrew, they have 22 letters. And so as you look over Psalm 119, you see here 22 stanzas of eight verses each, making 176 verses. And each stanza begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. You have Aleph. And then above verse 9, you have Beit. And above verse 17, you have Gimel, and so on. And so we have 22 stanzas of eight verses each, making 176 verses. And 8 times each letter of the alphabet is mentioned in the 22 sections. And what we have here in Psalm 119 is unfolded for us a progress in these 22 stanzas. Now, some time ago, I took the time to go through and to write down what I thought was the theme of each stanza. Now, each stanza of 8 verses. And so I put upon or above the first 8 verses, Aleph, the blessedness of those who obey the word. And I highlighted verse 2. Now, above verse 9, we have the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet and 8 verses following. And in this stanza, I believe it's cleansing by the word. And I highlighted verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Above verse 17, the third letter, and for the 8 verses making up the stanza, I put quickening by the word. And I highlighted verse 17. Above verse 25, the fourth letter, I put the uplift of the word. That seems to be what this stanza of 8 verses is dealing with, the uplift of the word. I highlight it, verse 28. And then with the fifth letter, above verse 33, I put the power of the word, the power of the word. And I highlight it, verse 39. Above the sixth letter in verse 41, I put victory through the word. And I highlighted verses 41 and 42. Down to verse 49, the seventh letter, comfort through the word. I highlighted verse 50. This is my comfort. Down to verse 57, the eighth letter, preservation through the word. I highlighted verse 59. Down to verse 65, the ninth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. I put the pricelessness of the word, and I highlighted verse 72. Down to the tenth letter, verse 73. Here's the tenth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the Jod. Testimony through the word. I highlighted verse 79. Down to verse 81, the 11th letter, affliction and the word. I highlighted verse 83. The psalmist said, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. Down to verse 89, we have the 12th letter, and I put the eternal word. I highlighted verse 89. Down to verse 97, the 13th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. I put wisdom through the word. And I highlighted verse 98. Down to 105, the 14th letter. I put the word, the lamp, and light. I highlighted verse 105. That's one you can quote from memory. Down to verse 113, the 15th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. I put the wicked and the word. And I highlighted verse 119. Verse 121, the 16th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Separation and deliverance through the word. I highlighted verses 121 and 126. Down to verse 129, communion through the word. I highlighted verse 135. Down to verse 137, the 18th letter, zeal for the word. I highlighted verses 139 and 140. Down to 145, the 19th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, I put experience through the word. And I highlighted verse 152, the last verse of that stanza. 153, the 20th letter, salvation through the word. I highlighted verse 155. to 161, the 21st letter of the Hebrew alphabet, I put the perfection of the word, and I highlighted verse 165. And lastly, to 169 and the 22nd letter of the Hebrew alphabet, prayer and praise through the word, and I highlighted verses 170 and 171. And as we mentioned on Sunday night, every verse except 3, verses 90, 121, and 132, every verse except 3, possibly 4, mentions the word. And there are 10 synonyms for the law or the word. And those synonyms are word, saying, way, testimonies, judgments, precepts, commandments, law, statutes, and faithfulness. Now here is a man, whether he was a young man or an older man, we don't know. But here is a man who found the Word of God to be what the Word says it is. For example, we've read Hebrews 4 and 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow. The psalmist found the Word of God to be what the Word says it is. It is vibrant in its life. It's quick. It's living. Vigorous in its action. It's powerful. Vindictive in its judgment. It is a two-edged sword. It cuts away all that mars fellowship. Vindictive in its judgment. It's violent in its operation. Piercing, even to the dividing asunder. And it's valuable in its revelation. Now, we said at the beginning of our study that with the Egyptians, with the Assyrians, and other nations back in those days, they communicated, they wanted to leave records, and they did so through pictures with the Egyptians, through hieroglyphics, but using pictures. And these appeal to the eye. But with the gift of writing, and how valuable a gift of writing is. With the gift of writing, now we're able to see words that not only appeal to the eye, but when we look at words, they appeal to the inner ear. We hear sounds in looking at a word. We speak of it as phonics. And so, God gave the gift of language and of writing. And it's interesting, isn't it, that God would use the Hebrew alphabet. Now keep in mind, the Old Testament scriptures were written in Hebrew, a few Aramaic portions, but Hebrew. And so here is a chapter dealing with the Word of God, and the alphabet is used. Now to me, that is interesting. That is interesting. Why would God give an alphabet? So we could have words. So we could make ourselves known to each other. But I believe God gave the alphabet so that we would form words to speak to Him and form words to speak about Him. Now, even if a person is deaf and dumb, that person, through the eye, will communicate by using words, writing them down or typing them out or whatever. And so the alphabet is used. And God gave the alphabet, I believe, so that we would use these words to speak to Him and to use these words to speak about Him. But here is a man who is derided. He is oppressed, he is persecuted, and reread these verses for yourselves. I could give you the long list of verses for all of these. He is derided, he is oppressed, He is persecuted. He's in bonds, verse 61. He's expecting death, verse 109. And yet, this man, though facing all of these difficulties, facing all of this affliction, he is rejoicing in the Word and the God of the Word. What a challenge to us. And this brings us to what I want to leave with you now in the remaining time. We noted on Sunday night that we are to love the Word. Now you will see this in these verses, 97, 113, 119, 127, 159, 163, 165, and 167. 8 times the writer speaks about loving the Word. And at least 7 times the writer declares his delight in God's Word. Verses 16, 24, 35, 47, 70, 77, and 174. So 8 times he speaks of loving the Word, and 7 times he speaks of delighting in the Word. So we are to love the Word. Not only so, but we are to prize it highly. Look at verse 128. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. We are to prize it highly. How do we treat the Bible? Well, so far as prizing it highly, the writer said that he treasured it above earthly riches. Look at verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. As one that findeth great spoil. I was trying to put my eye on that verse that speaks about better than gold and silver and so on. Well, maybe you'll see it. But now just imagine that. He values the word more so than great riches, than great spoil. I think some of us would confess that we'd probably rather have the money. But the psalmist treasured the Word of God highly. How do we treat it? We are to study the Word. Look at verse 27 of the psalm. Verse 27. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. We are to study the Word. Now, I must confess to you that study, for me, is work. I would rather be building something. I'd rather be working outside. I'd rather be doing something with my hands outside. Some people are very comfortable to take a book and sit in a chair on the sofa and just stay there all day. I have great difficulty doing that. But there are times that I must make myself stay at my desk in my study. For me, it is work. It's very pleasurable. I mean, once I get into studying either a chapter or a topic, and then I start pursuing these avenues of thought, it's spiritually rewarding. But I'm saying, so far as the mechanics of it, for me it's work. But it's enjoyable work. I enjoy, once I get things in my mind and I see the truth of what I'm pursuing, oh my, it's so wonderful. And you have it. I was going to say for the rest of your life, but when we get older, we start losing it. but it is wonderful. We are to love the Word. We are to prize it highly. We are to study the Word. And A.G. and I were talking just the other day and visiting a few, that there are so many helps available to us now that aid us in studying the Word without spending hours on end, it's amazing what is available to us in the way of spiritual helps or aids to finding verses and studying the Bible. There are those who have spent the better part of their lives to make certain volumes available to us in the study of the Bible. I'm thinking of some of the concordances, and I use Strong's Concordance primarily. And here you can go to the concordance and look up just about every word in the Bible. And then go back to the back to the particular number that is assigned to that word and find out where that word is found throughout the Bible. That is the same English word that's used in the translation. But it gives to you something of the meaning of that word. But think of the amount of time involved in making a volume like that available. And we could mention many other volumes, many other helps in our Bible study. When it comes right down to it, I guess some of us would have to confess we just don't study the Bible. We find other things to do, but we have to make time for the study of the Word. Well, look at verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. We are to meditate on God's Word. And here again, at least seven times the writer mentions meditation. And usually it's in connection with his delight in the Word. We're to meditate. We're to mull it over. We're to read a portion and then go through the day just mulling it over in our mind. We're to meditate on God's Word. Look at verse 11. Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. We should memorize Scripture. Oh my, there was a time when some of us were very diligent at that. But sad to say, that's not the case now. I understand that the Hebrew word translated hid means treasured. Treasured. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Treasured in my heart. There are two valuable practices that we do not see so much in churches today. And that is the public reading of the Word. Now, I'm not talking about the preacher reading the text that he's going to preach from. I'm talking about the public reading of Scripture in a meeting. And then the systematic memorization. I remember it was in the 50s. I was saved the latter part of 54. It might have been later in 55, maybe early in 56, I can't remember. We had a Billy Graham crusade in Richmond, and I helped in that. A number of us did from the chapel. And Lauren Sanney, who at that time was heading up the Navigators, this memorization course that the Navigators put out, and they were using that in connection with the Billy Graham crusade. And I took the Navigators course memorizing Scripture, and I used the cards. I put them in my pocket each day, but there were other times I would take plain cards and I would print out verses that I wanted to memorize. So when I got to work I wanted to smoke another cigarette, I'd reach in my pocket next to the cigarettes and I'd pull out the card and read, thou hast no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer us to be tempted above that we're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. Well, that would hold me off about another hour, and I'd have to read it again. But we should memorize Scripture. Look at verse 42. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. We are to trust God's Word. After all, the Bible is the Word of faith. Romans 10, verse 8. The Word of faith. And consider those men and women in faith's hall of fame in Hebrews chapter 11 who took God at His Word against, we might say, all odds. We are to trust God's Word. Look at verse 55, and I'm nearing the end. I have remembered Thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept Thy law. That is, we should obey the Word. We should obey the Word. The Bible reveals God's heart. So we should love it. The Bible reveals God's mind. We are to learn it. The Bible reveals God's will. We are to live it. We must love it, learn it, and live it. And I understand that there are 19 references in Psalm 119 to keeping God's Word. 19 references to keeping God's Word. And I understand, too, that there are 24 different Hebrew words that are translated keep. 24 different Hebrew words translated keep in our authorized version. In Psalm 119, the word here is to guard, to protect, to watch, as well as to observe and to keep diligently. Now, the best way to protect the word is to practice it. So we are to obey the Word. And lastly, look at verse 13. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of Thy mouth. We are to declare it to others. I repeat, why would God give the alphabet? So we can make words and form sentences, so we can reveal our innermost thoughts. Now, God knows our hearts, but when we pray, even when we pray silently, we are using the alphabet. We have to. And when we speak to others, we're using the alphabet. And I believe God gave us the alphabet so we would use it for His honor and glory. And we are to declare the Word to others. Well, what a challenge Psalm 119 is to us. And we will continue, Lord willing, on Sunday. Father, once again we thank Thee for being able to assemble in this manner tonight to sing these songs about Thyself and about the Word, to pray together, and then to consider a portion of Thy Word. And what a great chapter Psalm 119 is. Lord, may we read it. And the rest of the book as well. May we seek to memorize it. May we allow the Holy Spirit of God to make it real in our life and then share it with others. So, Father, we thank Thee for being here tonight, and now we pray Thy blessings upon us as we separate. In the Savior's name, amen. Good night. God.